Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to take a look today at a spiritual battle that Jesus is fighting, the church brings to us in this season of Lent. In the daily readings this week, it's taken from the gospel readings, are taken from Gospel of John chapter 5, and it's the kind of steady buildup of Jesus' conflict with the religious leaders of Israel. He's making life difficult for them because he's dialing and he's exposing the reality of sin that's in their lives. And Jesus has come to confront sin, to expose it, to reveal it. One of the reasons the church is giving us these readings is that we see that the conflict against sin, the resistance against sin in the world, is even manifested in the religious leaders of the time. It dominates the world. It's very powerful. It's in us. It's in them, and it's in us. It's important when we read this not to say, yeah, boy, those Pharisees, those religious leaders, they were terrible hypocrites. They're horrible. Guess what? Every single one of us is hypocritical in some way because of the way we make room in our lives for sin, for our own preferences before God's will. It's part of the human condition. So here's the situation. Jesus is in Jerusalem. He's by the sheep gate. And here's how John describes it. In Jerusalem, by the sheep gate, a pool in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew that he had been lying there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" I want to pause there just for a minute. That's a question Jesus asks each one of us, especially in the season of Lent. We're going to see with this man, Jesus makes the point that somehow the sickness or the paralyzed, lame, what he was experiencing in his life, in his particular story, that sin and the reality of sin and his own personal sin, it sounds like, had something to do with his condition. So Jesus wants to heal his body, which is a sign for us. The Father worked signs and wonders through Jesus to be able to show us, one, that Jesus is God, that he's united to the Father, that he's sent by the Father, that he has power over human flesh, his power over life and death, but that he wants to restore humanity. He wants to bring us into full healing. But the full healing of this man, who will be healed of his being crippled, but he's eventually going to die, right? What Jesus is after is not only the physical healing is a sign of Jesus' power and capacity to heal the whole person, to bring us home to the Father, to bring us from death to life, to deal with the sin problem, not just the physical problem he's experiencing, but in his case, the sin problem that's at the root of it. So he asks us this question in Lent. Do you really want to be healed? That is, do you want to come to me? Jesus said, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." We'll see later in this reading today, Jesus said that he has life within himself, and he can give life, that is God's supernatural life, life that can exist in us and would exist in us beyond death if we receive it. It gives us power over death in Jesus. He said, yeah, I do. I want that. But Jesus said, to get that, you have to give me your sin. You have to accept my diagnosis of your condition, of your sin-sick condition, and your affection for sin, your attachment to sin. Let me put that to death. Let me nail it to the cross, which means we have to humble ourselves and we have to tell the truth. I mean, Jesus is the truth. The truth comes to us in love and mercy. And he wants to heal us. He's got the same kind of compassion for us as he has for this man. And with love and compassion, he's reaching out to us. But friends, we really do have a tendency to protect our sin, protect what we want, to deceive ourselves, to not really come clean. I remember in my own family, it's kind of an analogy for me, but it's also directly applicable. The story of my, I've told it on air before, of my father dealing with his alcohol addiction many years ago, and watching that and being a part of it and going through treatment together. And one of the things that comes through the 12 steps and through getting healthy and getting sober is the person, the addict, has to be willing to make a searching, honest, moral inventory of their life. That all the deception, all the lies, all the conning, all the manipulation that they did, in my father's case, to make room in his life for the booze that he didn't think he could live without, he became a slave to it for a period in his life. He wasn't free, but he thought it brought him freedom because it helped him feel a particular way. It helped him escape things and demons inside that he was fighting from his past, and he became addicted to it, and he protected it for years. He denied that he had a problem. One time we did a family intervention. We had like 20 family members, immediate family, very, very close friends, and set up by professional counselors. And Dad came home and he was surprised to find us all in the living room. And for 90 minutes or whatever it was, we shared from our hearts our love for him, but desire to help him come and see the truth about his life and how he was hurting those he loves and how out of control his life was. And he sat there and he listened to it. Maybe it was longer than 90 minutes. And at the end of it, he looks at us and he says, "I don't have a problem. Don't do this again." And he got up and he walked away. That was about a year and a half before he finally admitted that he had a problem, that he was in bondage. And we do this with our sin. And Jesus is here and saying, "Look, don't play games. I've come to tell you how serious sin is. And I'm going to shed my blood to destroy the power of sin and the power of sin over your life. And I'm here because I love you and I want to bring you home to the Father. I'm a man on an assignment from my Father in heaven. And I come to you to offer you healing." Friends, that's what Lent is. Lent's about getting healed. It's not about beating ourselves up or doing enough good works that are going to outweigh the bad works so that we can present Jesus a scale in our favor. Christianity, Catholicism, is not fundamentally a morality. It's new life in Jesus Christ. It's coming from death to life through faith in him, which Jesus will tell us here in this story. So he goes on with this man. Jesus said, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is troubled and while I'm going another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your pallet and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. So here you see Jesus has authority over human sickness, decaying bodies. We'll see in later as we approach Holy Week, we're going to see Jesus speak to Lazarus, a dead man who dead 3 or 4 days in the tomb. His body is beginning to decay, and he speaks to the dead man, and the dead man hears his voice. There is no one like Jesus, friends. And this is absolutely true. Jesus is not just one leader, one religious leader among many good ones in human history, one of the good ones. Or as a famous kind of spiritual guru that Oprah had on her TV show a number of years ago said, that Jesus was one of history's most enlightened people. And his enlightenment is what set him apart as a religious leader. But beyond that, there was nothing more to who Jesus was, the most evolved person. And he had this whole philosophy that human history is progressing toward constant evolution and humanity's evolutionary process. Everything's getting better and better. I mean, certain people are evolving into greater and greater perfection. That's baloney. Jesus Christ is not just a man who happened to be more evolved than the rest of us, or some just enlightened. He's the Son of God. And what we're going to see now in this story is that Jesus healed this man on the Sabbath. He did a work. And this man picked up his pallet and did a work on the Sabbath. He violated the Sabbath, according to the religious leaders. And so they're saying, "Wait a minute, what are you doing? Doing this work, and who did this?" And he says, "I don't know who did it to me." And later he sees Jesus and he says this. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that nothing worse may befall you. These are the words Jesus wants to speak to you and to me in this season of Lent. It's a time to get on our knees before the Lord. And like St. Peter, who fell on his knees before the Lord, said, "Leave me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." To tell the truth about sin's sickness in us and the ways we've said yes to sin. We blur it. We don't take it seriously. We just kind of roll with it. We're tempted to roll with it. We don't want to have to face it. And here sits God's grace for us in the church, the sacrament of confession. A priest, an imperfect human being, awaits you in a confessional. He sits there, yes, him, an imperfect, sinful man himself, as another Christ. He stands there, he sits there in the person of Jesus. Because of the authority Jesus has given him, he's there to receive you on behalf of Christ. I just pray that it's Lent that confessionals all over the country, all over the world, would just be like rivers of humanity going to have the burden of sin lifted and taken away. Through the command of Jesus Christ, I absolve you of your sins in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Go and sin no more. That's what Jesus is saying here. Sin no more. Those are the words that we need to hear. Friend, we'll never be free without it. You'll never be free from the hypocrisy and the self-condemnation and the self-loathing and the hatred and the deception, all that's there, that the weight of sin, Scripture calls it. The only place to have that weight lifted, the only one who can lift that weight, is the one who has the power over sin and death. It's Jesus of Nazareth. It's not Muhammad. It's not Buddha. It's not some religious guru. There's only one Lord, one Savior. It's Jesus Christ. And it's with compassion and mercy that he wants to lift it. And it's important for us to see, if we die in our sin, holding on to it, refusing to let Jesus put it to death, then we're going to receive sin's destiny. We're going to inherit sin's destiny. And sin's destiny is condemnation. That's why Jesus says, "Look, I don't come to condemn you. I come to save you, to extend my mercy to you. But if you insist on your own way, living your own commandments, living your own reality, and not living and believing in Jesus Christ, you will die in your sin and you will be condemned. You will essentially condemn yourself." It's really important to see that. And so what ends up happening is, in this reading, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, the Jews, go after Jesus and say, "Wait a minute, what are you doing this on the Sabbath?" And Jesus says, "My Father is working still, and I am working." And then he really gets them mad, because he identifies himself as God's Son, making him equal with the Father. He violates the Holy Sabbath, and he calls himself equal to God. The battle is heating up. I hope you can tune in tomorrow, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.